Welcome to another edition of Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. I want to begin by saying music is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. I'm asking each and every one of you in the audience to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Welcome to another edition of Quest Youth Radio. As we travel in the history to review details of adversity and perseverance, of the struggle that continues into today's backdrop of our reality. Student hosts Brielle Claire and Justin Hill bring that history with definitions to life. I'd like to start out by saying good morning to our student hosts, Brielle Claire and Justin Hill. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
All right. It's morning someplace in the world, and I'm going to need you, Brielle, to get closer to the microphone so that you don't sound like you're echoing. Right. Good morning, Mr. Harris.
Good morning.
All right. And Ms. Gardner will not be able to be with us today, but had a workshop, but it's all good. We have enough to handle. You know, I want to begin this particular show with the tale of two wolves. Now, please bear with me because I know the student host has, they both have content and information to share. But I felt the need to share this particular information, this particular tale, right? Because it kind of describes the society in the individual person that we all live in, and we all live with ourselves. So bear with me one moment. One evening, an old Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It is angry, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, forgiveness, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought about it for a moment and then asked his grandfather, "Well, granddad, which wolf wins?" And the old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." And that, if you were able to hear, is where we begin our discussion on content and information today. Mr. Harris, I'm going to come to you first. What is in your interpretation of this particular tale? And does it fit the motif that we carry week to week?
Yeah, well, what I got out of it is that everybody has a choice in the way they want to approach things, the way they want to do things, and how they want to get stuff done. Now, you can take the negative wolf and procrastinate and not prepare yourself, and your outcome will always be that way. It would always be unprepared, and it would always look like you haven't really put any effort to it. So, like the old man said, it's the wolf that you feed. If you feed the negative one, you're going to get negative stuff. If you feed the positive one, you'll get positive things. You know, that's what I got out of it. And as far as what we doing in here, we do that all the time. You know, we always look at the pros and the cons to whatever situation that we come up with. And, you know, and it's good to see both sides. But if you're going to choose, always choose the positive.
All right. Thank you very much for your interpretation. Very interesting. I'd like to bring on Brielle. Brielle, what is your interpretation? What do you think about the tale of two wolves?
I don't know.
Oh, yes, you do know. The Tale of Two Wolves is just a story about good and evil. What do you think? Do you feed the good inside of yourself, or do you feed the bad inside yourself? What is your interpretation?
I see the good in myself, but I also see the bad in myself. And when I see the bad in myself, I think so I can improve. And the good,
okay,
the good in myself, when I see it, it helps, gives me courage to do things that I think is hard.
Okay. And the one that you, the one that you see, it gives the strength to that side, right? I need to ask Justin, what is your interpretation of this particular tale of two wolves?
Well, I think is you should choose wisely. Like, if you want to be good, then be good, and if you want to be bad, then you can be bad. But I think you should choose wisely and pick the good side.
Okay, you do understand that this is individual, and so we, like Mr. Harris said, we all have a choice. And with that being said, I would choose to turn it over to you, Justin, right, for your first segment, and lay it on us, man.
History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. My first diamond segment is on Stokely Carmichael. Stokely Carmichael was a civil rights activist. He was the leader of black nationalism in the United States, also called Black Power. Carmichael immigrated to New York City in 1952. He attended high school in Brooklyn, also known as the Bronx, and he enrolled at Howard University. There, he joined the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, and the Nonviolent Action Group. Stokely Carmichael was the controversial and charismatic young civil rights leader who popularized the phrase Black Power. Carmichael was a leading force in the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, working in the Deep South to organize African American voters. And the reason why I chose Stokely Carmichael for one of my diamond segments is because, again, it is Black History Month, and he basically represents Black history because he was in the Black Panther Party, and he was in the Black Panther Party, and he basically stood up for what he believed in, and he believed that Black people had powers, and that is it for my segment of Diamonds.
Okay. I'm going to play a song right now. I want you to be careful of the noise in your background because it's coming up. And I'm not sure if Stokely Carmichael was a member of the Black Panther Party. I'm not sure. We're going to check into that, right? And we'll be right back with a little bit of razzmatazz. All right, and And we just played that all the way to the end. But now we're back to the beginning, and we want to hand it back over to our student host, Brielle Claire, with her first segment of Diamonds.
Good morning, everybody. And I am here with my first Diamonds for today, which is on Ida B. Wells. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Ida B. Wells was born on July 16, 1862, in slavery. She was educated in Rust University. At the age of 14, she began teaching in a country school. She moved to Memphis, Tennessee, and continued to teach at Fisk University in Nashville during the summer sessions. In 1892, all three of her friends were lynched, and so she fought against lynching. She continued her anti-lynching, first as a staff in being a writer for New York, then organizer for anti-lynching society. She traveled around many cities and went to Great Britain twice because of anti-lynching. In 1895, she married Ferdinand L. Barnett, who was a Chicago lawyer, editor, and public official from 1889 to 1902. She served as a secretary for the National African American Council. She was part of the NAACP, working as an organizer. She distanced herself from the organization to become a president in Negro Fellowship League. Unfortunately, she died March 25th, 1931. And I chose her because I found it very important and interesting how she was brave enough to fight for her friends, because it was very sad that her friends died from a mob. So I'm now going to be moving on to my next segment on definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. They must define existence and not have it defined for us. Dedication, the quality of being dedicated or committed to a task or purpose. For an example, she put all her dedication to fight for her friends that unfortunately were lynched in a mob, and the Latin verb dedicare, which means to dedicate. And I got this information from Wikipedia. And that is it for my segments for Ida B. Wells and the definition of dedication.
All right. Great job. Brielle, I have to ask you, with the tale of two wolves, Ida B. Wells, which wolf did you think she fed?
I think she was the good one, the good wolf, because it was good that she was able to fight for her friends that died in the mob, and she was able to fight. She went to go, she wrote, like, stories about it because she became a writer, and then she was able to, like, go to other places and speak about it to go against the violence. So I chose the good wolf.
Okay. That sounds good to me. I think that sounds about right. And I needed to tell you, that is one of my idols, Ida B. Wells. And why? Because she stood for something and she wouldn't fall for anything. And she was able to back it up. She wasn't afraid to go against adversity, even at the risk of her life. And I want to bring in Justin. Justin, do you remember the anti-lynching bill that was signed and how many years it took them to sign that that particular bill and legislation into law? Because you actually did the story. Do you recall?
I remember the story, but I don't remember how many years it took.
Right. And that, you, yeah. And you know what? I want you to remember, it took them 100 years, okay, before they actually signed the anti-lynching bill. And I think that just took place last year. I want to bring in Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, we're going to leave a lot to unpack on your doorstep, and you can just answer that with a comment. Take it away, brother.
All right. Well, as far as speaking to all the stuff that's been done so far, because, you know,
yeah.
when it came down, yeah, when it came down to Justin talking about Stokely Carmichael, and I'm one of the questions that you asked, was he part of the Black Panther Party? Yes, he was. But he didn't stay for long because he was more focused on just moving towards black people doing stuff, whereas the Black Panther Party was not really a party that was just for black people. You know, they incorporated all oppressed people. And, you know, that's where he had his little, you know, difference between the Black Panther Party and what he was trying to do. You know, but, you know, he was a very important brother as far as, you know, because see, like, the time that he was doing stuff was right after Martin Luther King and them were doing all these marches. Everybody was trying to be nonviolent. And a lot of the younger people, because like you said, he was in college at the time when he started doing all this stuff. A lot of the younger people were more leaning towards Malcolm X. Were like, we're not going to be violent, but unless you do something to me, if you're violent towards me, I'm going to be violent towards you. But if you're peaceful towards me, I'll be peaceful towards you. You know, so a lot of the younger people picked up that Malcolm X's philosophy, you know, outside of the nonviolent getting kicked in the head in the diners and all this other stuff. So, you know, he was from another mindset, you know, and he's one that actually coined the words black power, you know. And when Brielle was talking about Ida B. Wells, you know, she, again, was a sister because, you know, see, a lot of times, again, this was the 1800s, early 1900s. They weren't letting a lot of black men stand up and be able to, like, fight the power during that time. So a lot of the sisters were doing that. And so she was able to step out and talk about the different lynchings and go around to different places and be able to do stuff. And with her writings and all the other stuff she did, she made an impact on just bringing the whole idea of lynching, because lynching wasn't just in America. The stuff that they were doing to black people in America, they were doing to black people all over the planet, you know, and she was the one spokesman for the stuff that was happening here in America, you know, and her, I'm trying to remember her definition, you know, which was really apropos to what Ida B. Wells was doing. I don't remember the word itself, but, you know, everything she said was kind of related to her diamond. Her definition of her diamond was really closely related.
Well, let's get her in here. What was your remind Mr. Harris of your definition, Brielle?
My definition was dedicated.
Oh yeah, dedication. You know, and that's a very important thing that we all need to put ourselves in that position to really follow up and not take shorts on whenever, because a lot of people are going to always tell you that, yeah, well, maybe you shouldn't do this, or you know you're going to get in trouble if you say stuff like that, you know, but dedication means even through all of that noise, you move the smoke out of the way and you stay on your course to do the things you want to do. And Ida B. Wells was very important with that. Stokely Carmichael also was real dedicated in his beliefs, you know, even to his death. He got so bad that he had to leave the country, where the people in the country was trying to, like, exile him because he was riling up too many people. You know, so far we've been doing so good.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I just want to add to that that a lot of times women, as far as the struggle and social consciousness and the fight against oppression here in America, our black women were not always held in the forefront. They had to take that spot of leadership, and because black men did not always want to have women up front in leadership positions. And I just need to say that. And in spite of that, Ida B. Wells, in my mind, will always rise to the occasion of leadership and advancement of change for anti-lynching in America. And I just love what she stood for. And that being said, we're going to take a music break. But then when we come back, we're going to return with the real deal, Justin Hill, and his next segment. And right now, a little bit of black consciousness and a lot of black power and pride in this song.
Every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmony of liberty.
Kind of short, but the message is still the same. We should all collectively lift our voices together to make a change. Lift every voice and sing. And now, that being said, I hand it over to Justin Hill.
Welcome back, everybody. And again, I am still host Justin Hill. And my diamond segment is on Fred Hampton. Fred Hampton was an American civil rights leader and deputy chairman of the Black Panther Party. Hampton was killed during a raid on his residence by Chicago police officers. He was laying in bed while police officers broke into his home, shooting and killing him. He led a series of rallies to demand the construction of a racially integrated public swimming pool in Maywood. And that is it. The reason why I chose Fred Hampton was because it basically connects with Stokely Carmichael, because Fred Hampton, he was basically a little Rex Stokely Carmichael, and Fred Hampton was a civil rights leader, Rex Stokely Carmichael. And that is it for my segment of Diamonds, and I thank you guys for listening.
Okay. I want to bring in Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, he's just been, Fred Hampton has just been compared to Stokely Carmichael. The civil rights movement, Justin, was just more than just saying, when you say the civil rights movement, you know, do you know what you're saying? Because that particular movement had a lot of different moving parts, right? A lot of different fragments. And people had, like Stokely Carmichael was a member, like Mr. Harris said, of the Black Panther Party. Stokely Carmichael's focus was on black people specifically, right? And his concern wasn't about including everybody, not that he excluded them, but he had a laser focus on the upliftment of black people, his own people, right? Fred Hampton, while having that laser focus on black people, his own people, was all inclusive of others as well, right? And one of the things I bring Mr. Harris in on this, what was Fred Hampton's educational background, Mr. Harris?
He was like a high school graduate, you know, but at the time when he was like 18 and 19, he was real focused into the fact that, you know, there was a lot of things going on. Because you got to understand that the Black Panther Party and all this stuff came after the assassination of Martin Luther King. So this is when people was like, now King had talked all of this nonviolent stuff, and he was assassinated violently. So maybe we need to take another way of looking at this same situation. You know, even though Martin Luther King was talking about upliftment of all people, you know, just include black people in it, you know, and the Black Panther Party was basically saying a similar thing. You know, they said, we're not really just for raising black people's consciousness and raising the conditions for black people. We were looking to raising the conditions of all oppressed people. And, you know, and when it comes to that, now we're talking Latinos, we're talking Native Americans, we're talking even poor white people and radical white people. They're all being oppressed by our government. So the Black Panther Party was inclusive of all of those people also. And, you know, and like Mr. Bay was saying that Stokely Carmichael was kind of just focused on black people at the moment. He was like, okay, now we understand that other people have been oppressed. Other people are going through their things and stuff with the government. But let's focus on us first. And then we can include other people once we get ourselves together. You know, so, but the fact that Fred Hampton was doing so much, and like you said, he was the chairman or the vice chairman of the Black Panther Party in Chicago. When he got killed, he was only 21 years old. And a lot of times whenever we have a movement or a sign to change stuff, it's never really the older adults that are in the forefront of doing all this stuff. It's usually the youth who see the situations around them and try to say, all right, pops, you know, y'all tried your way. It didn't work. We're going to do something else. And this is exactly what Fred Hampton was in the middle of that. And then at the time, it was a program that the FBI had called COINTELPRO. You know, they were like, well, we need to stop letting these black people change things because we kind of like the way things are in our government. So we're going to infiltrate. We're going to buy people off. We're going to throw people in jail. Are we going to just straight kill them? This is what our federal government was doing at the time. And Fred Hampton was, you know, understanding that he was putting himself in danger by doing these things. But he continued to do those things because he saw that it would be better for the generations after him. You know, so Fred was really important, and along with Stokely Carmichael, and this, but this is, we're talking after the death of Martin Luther King. Malcolm X had already been dead 5 years prior to that, or 3 years prior to that. You know, so they, and then all this stuff was based on the federal government killing these black leaders. The federal government killed Malcolm X. They made it look like the Nation of Islam did it. The federal government killed Martin Luther King, and they tried to make it like James Earl Ray did it. You know, but, you know, anybody who really understands the history of this country understands that things that our government has done that has hurt more people than it's helped, especially if you weren't white. And I don't want to talk all day, but you can.
Yeah, well, you're not getting off the hook. I got one more question for you, Mr. Harris. When you talk about the America, this country, the government, and we look at the two tails of the two wolves, well, what do you think this government, you know where this question is going.
and the answer is very simple. They took the negative wolf. They fed all the negative stuff just so they could have positive stuff in their life. You know, they thought that if we shared wealth or we shared power with other groups, that it would take something away from us. So in order to not lose any of the power that we have, we're going to stop everybody else from gaining any power of their own. And, you know, and this has been going on since the beginning of our country. You know, they make it look like the founding fathers were, oh, they were just so wonderful, and they just came over here with the most wonderful ideas and stuff. But actually, they were all slave owners. They were all white supremacists. You know,
right.
And our whole country is based on racism. And,
right.
And until we understand this as a group, it's going to always manifest itself in ways that is going to be negative to the majority of the people.
Right. And so the contradiction, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, and our student hosts, you know, the contradiction is when they talk about founding fathers and the beginning, the origins of this country being formed, those founding fathers were really thieves, okay, because they stole the land from the indigenous people who were here already. And that being said, I'd love to go to a song, but I'm going to hand it over to our student host, Brielle Claire. Take it away.
Hey, guys. I am back, and I'm going to be starting my next segment on diamonds, which is on Rosa Parks. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Rosa Parks was born on February 4, 1913. At the age of 2, her parents separated shortly after her brother, Sylvester, was born. Rosa and her mom and Sylvester moved to her grandparents' farm, although sadly, her great-grandfather, who lived on the farm, died when Rosa was 6. Rosa Parks was taught at home by her mom, who was also a teacher by a nearby school. She learned how to sew, cook, and do chores on the farm. Rosa's grandfather would keep watch at night just in case for mobs by violent white men. Windows and doors were boarded up while the family was safe inside. She entered a school in Pine Level where white children had the opportunity to take a school bus and black children had to walk. When she was 9, she went to a regular school with regular subjects. At the age of 16, She was kicked out of her high school because of an illness her family had, so she began cleaning houses for white people. At 19, she married Raymond Parks, a barber and civil rights activist, who encouraged her to earn her diploma. She became a member of Montgomery NAACP on December 1st, 1955. She rode a bus and sat in the whites only area and refused to get up. She was arrested and fined up to $10 and $4 for her court, although she paid neither. She left jail and worked with the new president of NAACP. After speaking about her experience, she was named Mother of Civil Rights Movement. A decade after her case won, she saw the United States was still failing, but she tried her best to keep by organizing for national attention, although many years later, she died, unfortunately died in 2005. And I am now going to be moving on to my next segment on definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning, so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Determined. Having made a firm decision and being resolved not to change. Example. Rosa Parks kept her decision when she didn't move from the whites-only area on the bus. And this word originates from the Latin verb originare, which means to end. And again, you are listening to Brielle, and that is it for my segment on Rosa Parks and my definition of determined.
All right. We're going to probably talk about that, but we have one more segment coming up, which is going to be presented by our student host, Justin Hill. But right now, we're going to listen to the sounds of KRS-One, and, well, you can just check it out. They don't know.
Clap your hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Cause I'm KRS and I'm on the mic and premieres on the break. Won a Grammy, I won't win a Tony, but I'm not the only MC keeping it real. When I grab the mic, the girls go ill. Check the comments, I rhyme, it's 1995 whenever I arrive. The party gets wider, flow with the master rhymer. That's the leap behind a video rapper, you know, the truck driver, tapper. Down goes another rapper, on to another matter. Punch up the data, blast master. Knowledge reigns supreme over nearly everybody. Call a KRS, guaranteed to rip a party. Flat top, not to dread. There once was a story about a man named Jed. All his kids instead want to kick drums up the top of their head. Word will go around, come around, I figure. The tables turn as the crosses burn. Remember, you must learn about the styles up and how wild I get. I go on like a space stage rocket ship. You could be a Mac, hustler, a player, but make sure live you is a dope rhyme.
My sentiments, my style is toxic. When I rock it, shock it, hit.
back our shooting host, Justin Hill, at the end of the song. Take it away. Justin.
Yes. Welcome back, everybody. And this is Justin Hill. And it is now time for my last segment of the Black Panther Party. And long ago, the Black Panther Party had an idea to serve free breakfast to hungry families. They would make food and serve it every day. After a while, the U.S. Federal of Radical Organs of Free Breakfast for Children. They would serve free breakfast in schools or in homes. Perkins was initially concerned with the plight of children in rural areas who got up early to work the fields with their parents and arrive to school hungry after long bus rides. Free breakfast is now one of the U.S. government's largest welfare programs, offering free meals to children. Also, before I go off, I just want to say that the free breakfast program was one of the Black Panther Party's ideas. And also, the Black Panther Party was a black nationalist group who operated in the United States from 1966 to 1982. Unlike the peaceful protest movement encouraged by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the Black Panthers advocated arming citizens, monitoring police activity, and aggressively resisting the various forms of racism encountered by African Americans on a daily basis. Also, social programs were another means by which the Black Panthers attempted to empower African Americans during the 1960s and 70s. Having identified white Americans as their oppressors, the Black Panthers started programs like food pantries, soup kitchens, and health clinics to encourage African Americans to help themselves and each other. And the reason why I chose the Black Panther Party as one of my segments was because Fred Hampton, he was in the Black Panther Party, and he was a chairman. And that is it for my segment of the Black Panther Party. And don't forget, you are tuned into Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Mr. Harris, we talked about, there are a couple of things, a few things here, right? But do you have a comment? Let me just make it simple.
Yeah, well, the only comment I would make would be that the type of things that the people that we're talking about today, the kind of courage that Ida B. Wells had, that Rosa Parks had, that Stokely Carmichael and Fred Hampton, the kind of courage under fire, basically, that's what they were doing. They were fighting even though they knew that it would be dangerous, but they were willing to take up arms against the oppression and stuff that was going on about black people and stuff at the time. And, you know, and that's something that somehow it seems like some of us have forgotten, that this is a continuing struggle. You know, we still aren't a part of the American dream as if we are, you know, and even some of our people even always point to individuals that made it when the majority of us have not, you know, so it's good to know about these type of people and the type of things that they're doing and how they were able to make a change. And we need to look within ourselves and try to see, well, what can we do and what kind of changes can we make, you know, instead of always looking to somebody else or giving kudos to somebody else. You know, we have to look and see what we're doing that's going to make things better for our future. You know, because Brielle and Justin, they're the future generations to my generation, you know, and they need to be looking at this stuff the same way I am, so they can look at a generation or two beyond them. What are they doing to make things better in the future? And these type of segments and these type of understandings of people help give people choices. And, you know, and like you said, it's dependent on whichever wolf you want to feed. Because the bad wolf also had procrastination. You know, he didn't use that word, but he'll put stuff off and always wait for other people to do stuff for him. Where the good wolf was, will go out and had the courage to go out and do things for themselves. Today, you know, I loved everything that went on today. You know, we just need to continue this mindset, and then tomorrow will always be better.
Okay. You know, Mr. Harris, we want to thank you so much, and we want to give a shout-out to you being in good health. We do realize last weekend you were unable to attend because of your health, and that was more important to us all, right? I want to address Brielle before we begin to wrap up the show with 2 minutes on the clock. Before Rosa Parks, Brielle, there was a woman by the name of Claudette Colvin, right? Well, she's now a retired nurse's aide. And Claudette Colvin was 15 the day she refused to give up her seat on the bus, right? She said, my head was just too full of Black history. She said, you know, the oppression went through, she just wasn't going to give up her seat. And the day that she held her own on the bus sit-in, her class had talked about injustices that were being experienced under the Jim Crow segregated laws. So when the driver of a segregated bus, like the one shown with Rosa, ordered Colvin Claudette to get up, she refused, saying that she paid her fare and it was her constitutional right. And so that being said, now listen to this. She paid her fare, right? She said it was her constitutional right, but the two police officers handcuffed her and took her to jail. Now, you know, what was legal about that? Okay, so I want to hand it over to Justin to close us out, and I want you to keep that in mind, Brielle. Take it away, Justin.
I want to thank everyone for joining us on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you check out our next show on 89.5 next Saturday from 7 to 8 a.m. And make sure you check out us on all social media platforms. And Questies Radio is the best youth radio.
The best youth radio.